Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley, Brian's favorite artist, going to the ends of the earth to see him. Where do you have tickets? Italy or something? Where are you going?
Rome, next May, Rome and Paris. Paris and Rome.
Right. And yeah, did you have to sell plasma every month for a year to get the money to get those tickets?
No, I had to get up at 2 a.m. because of the time change when the tickets went on sale because they sold out in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you know they're not cheap.
Well, I paid face value.
Well, okay, for the tickets, but the whole thing. You got to consider travel and everything part of the ticket.
Well,
right?
And that's where my Suntimes Air Miles and Marriott points come in from traveling for 26 years.
Yeah, look at you. You saved it all for this moment.
Well, I was saving it for something. I didn't know this was going to be the moment, but thank God I was sitting on a lot of... You know, when you spend 3 years, actual calendar years of your life in a Marriott hotel property, you accrue a lot of points. Ask any
people. So you have figured it out that you've actually spent 3 calendar years?
Correct.
All together?
Titanium,
wow.
I'm titanium for life on Marriott.
Look at you.
They sent me a big
heavy
metal
card. You're like a superhero.
Well, I didn't know that. They just sent me a card and said, you're our titanium for life. And
did they hand deliver it with some guy named Jeeves and white gloves?
Well, I mean, if I dropped it on my toe, I could break my toe. It's that heavy. But I mean, that tells you what kind of life you have as a beat writer. I loved covering sports. I mean, it's really not a job.
Right.
And when you're a young man traveling as much as you do, you really enjoy it because and you got to see cities you never thought you would see. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I've been sitting on those for a while because I don't travel all that much anymore. And then the pandemic came along. And from what I understand now, if you want to travel, the airlines cancel your flight 3 times to make sure you don't travel.
Yeah, I haven't gone. I have not been in an airport since February of 20.
Wow.
Two weeks before I started here at ESPN, I had a trip scheduled to the British Virgin Islands.
Well,
and
we
took that trip. And when I came home before I got here, I was sick. And I wonder if I had the COVID, but I'll never know because we didn't know what the COVID was, really.
Yeah, a lot of people are going back and thinking, I had something I didn't really know what it was before there was a name to it.
Yeah. It was pointed out to me that could have been the situation. Haven't had it since.
Well, I'm on my 10th day of protocol because I took a test a week ago Wednesday.
Right, right.
And because I was around people that did, in fact, have COVID and got symptoms. So I had like the sniffles for 2 days. But if you go to the CDC guidelines, it's like, for the first few days, don't, isolate and then wear a mask, when you're around people, if you have to go out. But basically, they want you to stay away from people for 10 days or so. So I think
is today your getaway day?
I think it's my 10th day. I'm pretty sure. So I'm at home. And I have a neighbor every year that likes to blow off, it seems like, half stick of dynamite.
We're going to have to talk about this, especially we'll be on tomorrow, too. We're going to give advice. I certainly have issues I have to deal with my dogs.
Yeah.
And I have a neighbor that does the same thing. He hosts the neighborhood display.
I'm all for fireworks at night and enjoy 4th of July fireworks. Mm-hmm. My dogs certainly don't, and I know a lot of little kids don't. But the random... window shattering or shaking half stick of dynamite at 10 in the morning for like 3 days or 4 days over the weekend, just because I don't understand that. I don't understand the look at me. I'm a complete, jerk. Because M80s are one thing. This is like times 10. Right. And so you might hear that today. You might not. So far.
Right. Right. People practicing or whatever. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, and I've told you, I've kind of live out in the country. We have property, a fair amount of property that backs up to a fair amount of property owned by a gun shop owner. Mm-hmm. And on a random Saturday, you'll hear target practice. Although it doesn't bother my dogs. Gunshots don't bother the dogs outside. I mean, they're far enough away. But the fireworks, yes, they do.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's look, I really enjoy fireworks shows done by professionals. I don't really like the
the non-professionals in the neighborhood.
Who's just blown off.
Showing
dynamite.
Off, yeah. And it just burning money.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. All right, let's set up that Twitter poll here, Brian. Zach LaVine, he's going to be wearing number 8 for years to come.
So, simple question, because they agreed yesterday, officially it's not till July 6th, but they've come to a verbal agreement. Not a whole lot of negotiating going on, because the Bulls, the watchword has been continuity and bringing everyone back. So they put the max money on the table, 5 years, $215.2 million. And Zach apparently didn't even want to go through meetings with other teams, but his agency, Clutch Sports with a K, decided that, you know, let's have a few of those meetings just to give you a taste of people wanting your you know, to tell you how much they love you. And in short order, he said, okay, now let's take the Bulls deal, because they're the only ones who can offer 5 years and $215 million. So he is very happy to be a Bull. Are you happy that they have given him max money? Yes or no? And that's our Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. I've retweeted it. You can find it, I believe, at Xander.
Xander Rocker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's the thing. He's going to make $37.1 million next season, which is, when you're talking about $215 million, that, you know, that seems about right. Kevin Durant, his salary next year, $43 million. And this was the week where Kevin Durant surprised the Nets and told them, you know, this isn't really working out here too much in Brooklyn. I'd like to be traded. So every team in the league had to get on the phone and make that due diligence call and say, what would you like from our roster if we could even begin to talk about getting Kevin Durant on our team? So AK and Mark Eversley certainly had that conversation. It probably didn't last very long, because Kevin Durant doesn't really want to come here. The sad thing is Danilo Garliano didn't want to come here either. He decided to go to the Celtics. He didn't really believe the Bulls, as nice a season as they had last year, are among the elite in the Eastern Conference. But the fact that Zach is going to make $6 million less than Kevin Durant, and the fantasy, I know that Sylvie tweeted out, let's go get Durant. Everyone liked that idea. There was one, you know, he had to want to come here, but Casey Johnson wrote two trade scenarios. One, you had to give up DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Alex Caruso, your first-round pick this year, and a future first-round pick. Or two, the other scenario, you give up Vooch, Patrick Williams yet again, Kobe White, your first-round pick this year, and a future first-round to even get the conversation going. And that's a lot to give up.
That's way too much. And being old school, you know, it kind of drives me nuts that there's a handful of players, and the NBA's been like this for a while, that just basically dictate, you know, contract or nothing. I want to be traded. And I hope this doesn't spread to, like, baseball.
It's, yeah.
It may be happening, but it just seems to be so out front with the NBA.
It went with D. Wade when he started with LeBron, and, you know, he started, you know.
Right. Let's all get together and approach this team and say, sign all of us. And, yeah.
I will argue, the Bulls were, what, 46-36 last year, right? And they limped into the playoffs, and they limped quickly out of the playoffs because the Bucks are a much better team. But as we sit here and talk about the White Sox getting healthy, and boy, when they get healthy, they're going to be a team that, you know, everyone's going to be happy to have, and they're going to contend.
There's that word again.
Yeah, happy. I will argue that truly, when the Bulls get fully healthy with Lonzo Ball and you get a full season.
Right, and Lonzo was not part of the playoffs. We should mention that.
And maybe won't be ready for the start of the season, but, you know, you get guys like Lonzo Ball, certainly Alex Caruso, full season. I mean, then you can envision, I mean, the Bulls were sitting atop the conference for the first, what, two-thirds of the season or so, and mm-hmm. you know, making everyone happy and surprising everybody. Yep. They truly can lean on injuries to explain how they, you know, petered out at the end there. I don't know that they are, you know, that the Bulls have decided this is the path, right? Continuity, work around the edges, they're pretty much limit up on salary cap now. So Rick Morrissey wrote a column today, and I agree with it. The biggest question for the Bulls is, can you win because of Zach LaVine? And the answer is nobody knows. And we've been debating this for years. It was his first playoff this season in 8 years of his NBA career. And that's not because of him. It's because he was on, you know, bad Minnesota teams. And and the Bulls took a while to get around to the new front office and the retooled and reimagined roster. We don't know. The debate is, you know, where does Zach LaVine fit on a championship contending team? Is he a foundation piece? Is he the centerpiece? Is he number
three? Well, he has just been paid like he is a centerpiece.
Right. And so that's the thing. I'd love to hear from Bulls fans, 312-332-3776. What do you know about Zach LaVine? We know he's athletic. We know he can score.
Right.
We know he hasn't been healthy, and the knee was more than
an issue. And we can, you know, it could be assumed that the Bulls know that the knee is maybe not an issue because they threw all this money at him.
And they were in a spot where it's almost like, okay, what else would we do, right?
See, that's the other thing. It's like, is this the best situation we can get? Maybe we just have to settle.
Yeah, I mean, because we have this max money. He's eligible to get it. We, you know, free agents aren't breaking down our door to be part of this. You know, even Danilo wanted to go to the Boston Celtics, and after listening to what the Bulls had to sell him on. But do you know what Zach LaVine is? And he's getting paid as if he's an elite player, and he is an all-star. I mean, for the first time, and his two-time all-star. But we don't, I mean, and if you know for a fact that Zach LaVine is going to be the reason the Bulls end up hoisting a trophy again,
well, then great, but you have to sell us on it, because I'm with you, Brian. I'm quite honestly surprised. I did not think that they would do that, and I'm surprised. And I'm assuming that they know more than we do. 312-332-3776. Back with Bulls Talk. Tell us what you think about Zach LaVine. You happy that he signed the max contract? And is he somebody that you can sell us on for the future and ultimately for a world championship? We'll get back to that talk here at 312-332-3776, taking your calls on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
And you can watch us today and every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And in just a while, at 10:30 actually, we will give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars game Sunday, July 10th against the North Carolina Courage. We will be taking third caller. Okay. Brian, we're talking about Zach LaVine and the max contract that he got, 312-332-3776. What's your feeling on it? You happy, Brian, or are you surprised like I am?
I'm maybe not surprised. I thought it was going to happen because Zach certainly wanted to be here because he likes the idea of being in Chicago and finally having talent around him. Does he have enough talent around him? But I guess the bigger question for the Bulls is, does he have enough talent to make these guys better, right?
Right.
DeMar DeRozan played Superman many games this year. And you know,
and that was really Zach's role.
Yes. I mean, and
now he had the knee injury, and obviously that's been an issue, but maybe it's not such an issue now since they threw all that money at him.
Well, 67 games this season because of the knee, and you know, he had the surgery, then he had it drained, and then he had another surgery. 67 games, he averaged 27 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. You gave him max money. You were clear that you intended to do that as the Chicago Bulls the entirety of the offseason. That was the direction. It was just a matter of Zach was going to accept it or not. Right guy at the right time for the right situation. And, you know, God bless him. He got paid. But I'm like you. I don't know. You can win with him, I think, for sure. But can you win because of him? Is there another level to his game or two that I think you really do have to see?
Right. Is he max money?
Right. I mean, he's getting paid as if he's an elite player in the league.
Yes, yes.
And he's a two-time All-Star, and that's nice. But I think it was a year or two ago, voted by NBA players, I think he showed up like 23rd on the list of best players in the league.
That's why I'm surprised. I'm surprised that, you know, with the knee issue and everything, I thought that they would go in a different direction. That's why I'm surprised.
Well, I mean, you know, it's nice they added Andre Drummond, but he's certainly a guy who's going to help you, you know, defensively. He's not going to help you offensively. Do you have enough scoring? Again, does Zach LaVine, assuming health, and assuming he can get more than 67 games and a lot closer to 82, is he the guy? Is he the guy to lead you to an Eastern Conference championship and eventually an NBA championship?
Because that's right. Is he going to lead the way? He needs to be a leader.
That's right. I mean, and not just doing the right things and preparing the right way. His talent has to find another level or two in order for you to actually be in a conversation to win something in the next. Well, and it's a 5-year deal. The last year is a player option. So
let's say the next four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to happen next year, but by years 3 and 4 of that deal, can you tell me that, yes, this is all going to play out. He's going to earn the money and they're not just going to be a nice team and a good story and a likable team, all the things they were this year. And I loved watching Bulls basketball for the most part until, you know, the injuries piled up and they, you know, kind of whimpered into the postseason. But you rooted for this team and you root for Zach LaVine. But that doesn't change my question marks on him about how good he is. Again, he's been in bad situations for the majority of his career. And I still don't know. I don't know how good he is. And I don't know. I do know he needs to be better in order for the Bulls to get to the promised land.
Right. And he, you know, max money thrown at him, it seems like that they have those expectations. Will they come true? Sean in Avondale jumping on ESPN 1000. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I'm pretty happy with the contract and the signing. You know, I've been seeing a lot of reports that the Chicago Bulls have yet to offer a $100 million contract plus. You know, I think it's going to, you know, AK coming in, I think he's going to really you know, build up this roster, you know, as he already has. You know, he's bringing in different.
Well, what else do you think he needs to do?
I mean, I think he's preached continuity, so, you know, he just wants these pieces to stay together for quite some time.
And to actually work together to get to that point.
Exactly. I mean, Patrick Williams, you know, we got to see if he's going to grow this year and come into his own. I mean, training out in L.A. with DeMar, I think that's going to be huge. I think the question marks are going to be more, can LaVine and DeMar work together? Because it kind of seemed they were playing solo ball, hero ball all year. And, you know, can they play more together? And like you guys just mentioned, can LaVine elevate other people's game? I think we have yet to see that.
Right. All right. Thanks, Sean. You know, the max contract concept, Brian, could you imagine what that money would look like for a Michael Jordan if he were playing today way he played then? What is a max contract for a Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I mean, $500
million? Boy, I mean, you know, at some point there might have been.
And you just realize how underpaid he was.
Yeah. I mean, there was always conversation, should Jerry give him a percentage of ownership?
Of course, all of us would have said yes, but it's not our team to give away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if that was within the league rules at the time where you could give him 2% of the team. But, yeah, I mean, for the amount of money that he made for Bulls ownership.
Actually, after he retired, they should have gifted him 2%.
Yeah, well, he should never have worn a Washington jersey.
No, that still makes me sick.
I know, right?
312-332-3776. Twitter poll up at ESPN 1000. Zach LaVine gets the max contract. Are you happy or not? There was just two choices. I'm thrown in surprised because I just thought that they might go a different way. Because AK seems to be the guy who would make a daring trade. He's made a couple, but he feels like he has the core. Now they just have to play to potential.
And before, you know, before the they agreed verbally and it'll become official on the 6th in a few days here, people are like, okay, sign and trade. Zach LaVine would have to be a centerpiece. If you're going to get Kevin Durant, then obviously the Nets would want Zach LaVine and whatever package you ship. Again, that was all fantasy-based basketball at the time because, one, Kevin Durant has Phoenix on his list and Miami and – you know, the Bulls weren't on his list, so you know.
Of course, you want a player like that, but do you want an attitude like that?
Well, he's not have the same attitude as Kyrie.
No, well, that's true. That's true. I definitely don't want no part of Kyrie.
I know. He is Kevin Durant. I mean, and the idea of Kevin Durant in a Bulls uniform would excite me very much. But, you know, Patrick Williams, our caller, just mentioned it. He was in both scenarios that Casey Johnson laid out because no one yet knows what Patrick Williams is and what his future is in the NBA. But it better be good, and it better be a high ceiling. And better, we, as Sean just said, our caller, you better start seeing it this season because it's time for him to start showing up and letting people know what he's all about.
Now, Durant tweeted this earlier today. Mm-hmm. The ones who are locked in that gym with me know what it is. They know what I'm about. If you haven't been in there with me, ask around. So it's a bad situation he wants out of. So, you know, maybe, I don't know. You know, and somebody responded, hey, you will only lead a team if they're almost already there. So it depends on how you look at that or whatever. But KD is too high, high a price to pay for the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, Steph Curry doesn't need Kevin Durant showing back up. I mean, right? I mean, it's like, you know, some guys do just lead and lead and lead and get it done, right?
Yep. All right, Dean from Valpo wants to jump in. ESPN 1000. Hey, Dean, you're on with Hanley and Xander.
Hey, great to hear you guys. Yeah, I'm in the minority, but I feel like they made a huge mistake with Levine, signing him to that contract. And my reasons are, first, that knee. I mean, guys' knees don't get better as they get older. And, he's had quite a few years in the league now. I don't see that knee, that issue going away. And to pay him that much money, to me, it was a mistake. And then
you almost have to wonder, though, Dean, real quick, you almost have to wonder if they have information we don't, because it almost seems like they would have to have made that deal.
Well, them having information that we don't, it scares me because of how they've diagnosed their point guard's knee. So is their information any good? And my final point is, I feel like we were so down at the end of the Paxson era that we were just open to any new GM coming in and doing anything. And I feel like these guys, you know, it's hard to argue against the fact, okay, they got us in the playoffs, but I feel like they have drained what we have in terms of draft picks. And the guys they have now are older. And so I feel like if nothing happens here and Levine's not this, you know, max contract guy that we just paid him for, it seems like we're going to be in purgatory for the next 5 years. But anyway, I'm really not that negative of a person, but I just feel like that this was a mistake.
Okay. All right. So thanks, Dean. So we got a vote for yes and a vote for no. And, of course, we've got that Twitter poll up at ESPN 1000. All right, your chance right now to be caller 3 at 312-332-3776 to win a four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars game Sunday, July 10th against the North Carolina Courage. Xander and Hanley back after this on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley here until 11. Then we've got a baseball game today. White Sox taking on the Giants. Dylan Cease on the bump against their ace, right, Webb? He's a stud pitcher for the Giants there, Brian.
You sure I can't get Dylan Cease back for Ian Happ?
I promise you.
I'm just trying.
I promise you.
Yeah, no chance. Huh?
There is no freaking chance. No sorry.
Shot. Yeah.
You could also hear us on 100.3 HD2. Yes, that's way too high. And on the ESPN Chicago app, playing high low for
I'm not asking for
Ian Happ. Look, we already said Jimenez and Mankata. Yeah.
No shot.
A lot of potential there, Brian.
Yeah,
a lot of potential there.
Yeah,
you're going to lose Contreras. You know, that's going to happen. Yeah, uh-huh. You don't see happen. See, I think this will happen.
HAPP.
Yeah. So I think we had a winner of those Red Star tickets. We'll get
How about
that
Jose thing. From Deerfield.
Was it Jose from Deerfield? Yeah, yeah, it was.
Bulls
you're
fan,
right about that. You're right about
terrific
that.
Terrific guy. Yep. Long time contributor.
He said hi to you. He said hi to you.
Through
you.
He's, he's been a sports talk guy forever, and we love Jose. Yeah.
We love rewarding people who spend time listening to sports talk radio.
God bless
All right,
you,
so
Jose.
We've got a brand new head coach on the ice over on West Madison, Luke Richardson. Now, we talked about this last week. It was rumored to be the case, and it was officially announced. Was it
the Hawks said,
was it Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, they announced it Monday.
It was Monday.
They brought him into town, and he went through our first pitch at Wrigley, and he looks like he could play another 20 years. Did you see this guy?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I went to so many games back in the day when I had season tickets at the old stadium, watching Luke come into town with the Oilers. He was a great player, a guy that you would have loved to have on your team. Unfortunately, we do now, but he's not strapping the skates on anymore.
No, he said he's going to strap the skates on and practice with the team, which is, it always sounds good. But he said, like, if the team needs a bag skate where, the pucks stay in the bag and you're doing Michigan sprints, basically, blue line to blue line or end line to end line, or he said he would do it with them to show how much he, and he would try to beat them. And those grueling practices.
You don't like that?
Dirk Graham was a disaster as a head coach, and he was one of the seven head coaches I think I covered with the Hawks in their dark 90s.
The dark ages, yeah.
Yeah. And we got off the plane. It was a West Coast trip or whatever. We got off the plane, and he told the bus driver head right over to the rink out by O'Hare, where they used to practice, and he bag skated the guys, and you never saw a guy lose a team quicker than that, because, whatever. But you are a big time Hawks fan. You just said season ticket holder for all those years.
Yeah.
Ever seen such lack of buzz? And it has nothing to do with whether Luke is going to be good or not, because Kyle Davidson believes this guy's going to hold players accountable, is going to be disciplined, is going to be patient, can develop players. We'll see. But boy, the state of the Blackhawks.
Unfortunately, they fell off the radar, and it was a quick fall.
Yeah.
And it's not only the product on the ice, but it's all that other BS that happened.
Yeah, with Kyle Beach.
All of that contributed to a quick fall.
And so now you're starting a rebuild, which Kyle Davidson won't put a timeline on because he's smart. He doesn't know how long it's going
to
take.
You don't want to corner yourself with a question like that.
And we'll find out. We talked to Ben Pope last week, who covers the Hawks for the Chicago Sun-Times, and talking about whether Alex DeBrincat, the rumor mill is ripe around the league that it's not a question of if, but when he's getting traded. And as Ben pointed out, if you're going to trade him, likely you're doing it right before the draft this week, July 7th and 8th, up in Montreal. They have their draft. And if you do trade DeBrincat, what do you get in return? And then does that mean Patrick Kane goes to Kyle Davidson?
That
says,
could be the first piece in the Jenga game.
Yeah.
Yep.
It absolutely could be. But, the lack of buzz for Luke Richardson just tells you all you need to know about where the Hawks are in terms of
where they stand in the city right now. It's going to be a bit of a climb back. Here's Luke Richardson on how he happened to come to the Hawks.
Yeah, just having a chance yesterday to walk through the whole offices. There's a lot of new people, young people, and I think that's the way the direction of the team is going. And they want the whole organization to work together. Both the hockey side, business side, and we really look forward to that and being unique and new and growing together. So, great communication, and I think right off the hop, and I think that's going to be great. And it's impressive what I've seen. I've been with a lot of organizations, and I've always heard, how well the organizations run here. It's obviously a rebuilding process right now, but I think the foundation is already set. The people are in place, and I think now it's just the excitement of moving forward with that.
That is new head coach Luke Richardson of the Blackhawks. I'll tell you something. I don't ever want to hear a head coach that takes the lead on the Blackhawks and say organization. If they don't say organization or process, if they don't do that, they're automatically disqualified.
They're not legit.
Now here's Luke on previous coaching experience, which he does have.
Yeah, I think probably most coaches, and especially if you've played, there's a lot of coaches that you've had over the years that you take a little bit from everybody. And And sometimes those the things that you think are right and the things that you don't think are right, and you know how you're gonna make yourself and present yourself as a coach. So myself, my philosophy is the game is a fast game now, and I think a good example is watching the finals this year. There's a lot of speed, skill, but you watched how hard they played. And it's the leaders and the older players that have been there before that are leading the way in that, where Nate McKinnon's finishing checks and stuff. Well, that's the culture that you want to build here. You know, we have Stanley Cup champions and future Hall of Famers on our team, and I think building a relationship with them to really lead the way and show the younger players to make those steps is going to be crucial. And people have talked about defensive zone coverage and all that. Well, not exactly sure what the lineup is going to be yet next year, so it's hard to say exactly what philosophy and game plan that we're going to actually do. But I think playing defense, and I was a defensive defenseman, and being good defensively doesn't mean you're in your zone all night blocking shots and you can and keeping the score down. I think what it is playing defense fast. And if you can learn to play defense fast, whether you're a big, strong guy or a small, speedy guy, you have the puck more, and you have more energy left in your body to play offense. And that's what I think that we need to do.
That is Coach Richardson on a little bit about on his experience in Montreal as a coach, which obviously is a hotbed for hockey, and his experience as a player. He is what you would call a stay-at-home defenseman. Not really a thing so much anymore, but that's what he was.
It sounds like a plan. I like the idea that you're not just sitting back in your zone blocking shots, and that basically he's also talking about being intelligent, right? And anticipating plays and making the play and turning the puck over and heading back the other direction. Now, look, he's been an assistant coach, and it was interesting that Derek King was the only NHL head coach interim that he was, that they interviewed, four guys, three of them were assistants in the leagues, including Luke Richardson. He did coach at AHL Binghamton, but this is his first time being the guy. I mean, he's filled in Montreal as a head coach. But
he was such a standout player that moves you to the head of the class.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you like everything you said, and you hope it all works out. But the fact that I know a lot of Hawks fans go get Barry Trotz. Well,
no, God, see, not me. I don't want that. Well, I like this hire.
Well, I think a lot of those established coaches who were let go didn't want any part of a rebuild at their point in their career. So,
well, and that may be so, but for some Hawk fans, I would imagine that maybe that wasn't the answer. You know, sometimes you have to, and I know that I've been against this at times, but sometimes you have to tap some new talent, some talent with potential, and I like this hire. We've got Ray to sneak in before the break comes up here. Ray in Naperville wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good. What you got?
My thing is, I follow the Hawks probably just like you. I've talked to Brian a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were keeping close attention, which a lot of people in Chicago, they like hockey, but they don't follow it, you could see their organization. Stan left this organization with the 28th best prospect system. So, you know, we've been scratching our heads for years about, you know, who trades Philip Dernier for Weiss and Fleischman? You know, who trades? So, you know, I mean, the only thing I do blame a little on Rocky, because every year, didn't he sit down with them and say, how is our prospect pool doing?
Well, I'm sure he did, but, it's in the eyes of the beholder, right?
Yeah, but if you look at the draft when they drafted Reichel, Dawson Mercer was on the board, and everybody on TSN said, hey, Dawson Mercer's there. Every pick he picks, he did pick in that draft, if you go back at prospect rankings, was a reach.
Yeah, you're right, Ray. Thank you for the call. We're up against the break. Ray's got a good point. But remember, those Stanley Cup teams, the foundations were built not by Stan.
No. But that's why you better hope Kirby Dock gets this thing turned around too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the fact is that because Stan maintained some people would say he did not, but he was there for all 3 years when they won the cup. It's just really hard to sustain that. Contracts came up, and he did leave it a mess a bit, but this might be a step in the right direction.
Who needed Artemi Panarin?
Yeah, who needed the bread man anyhow?
Yeah, right.
312-332-3776. That's the number to call. Another chance at a four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars game Sunday, July 10th. That's against the North Carolina Courage. We'll take caller three right now. At 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Xander back to wrap it up. We'll wrap up that Twitter poll, and we'll set up the Sox game today as they're taking on the Angels. Giants, they're in California, and that's a 3:05 start right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000 up until 11, White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight at 12:30. Then Connor stays here for the pregame at 2:30. Len and DJ on the call at 3:10. It is Dylan Cease on the mound today. Brian at 6-3, 2.56 ERA, 121 strikeouts against Logan Webb. He's 7-2, 3.04 ERA, 81 strikeouts. I think he's their ace on that staff. Am I correct?
So with those two going, you're probably going to see a 10-8 game, right? I mean, you would expect the 1-0 game to be
right? Yeah. Yeah. The other day, the Kopech and Ohtani game.
Yeah.
That was interesting for a while.
Yeah.
And as advertised, I mean, both of them are studs.
Yep. Yeah. As soon as they got they were up 2-0. I'm like, ooh, this could be a little bit of a uphill climb given the Sox offense these days.
And that is the difference. And then you have a game where they just totally break out, which just drives me nuts. All I do is shout at the screen, save some for tomorrow.
Is that how it works?
Well, that's how it works with me. They don't listen. They don't hear. They don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But that's my first reaction. It's like, okay, the blowouts are cool and fun and everything, but I'd rather have you save some for tomorrow.
If we could just get that average up to, you know, 4 or 5 runs a game.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Just
could you imagine 4 months ago saying once we get into July, we'd be just wishing we'd average 4 runs a game?
Yeah. It's great to win a game like last night, and props to everyone. But you need a much more consistent offense. However you're going to get it done, if you don't want to believe that you need to hit more home runs.
Hey, if there's a corner to be turned, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, without
Let's
being
pick up
in a
momentum
roundabout.
San Francisco and come back home for a slate of games against the Twins. I'm going to be seeing them both Tuesday and Wednesday.
Ooh.
So I need wins. I need
Good
wins.
Good seats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so 15 games against division opponents, 14 days. Mm-hmm. This is your clarifying, defining stretch. All hands on deck, and you got to get it done. And if you don't get it done, or you just run in place like you've done for the last 2 months, then Rick Hahn is going to have to look at that and say,
"Are you going to ask me what the record's going to be over those 15 games?" Is that what you're leading to?
Boy, we can do that tomorrow.
That tomorrow?
Yeah,
I'm not ready to answer that. I'm not ready for the reality that wants to jump out of my mouth. I'm just not ready for it.
Yeah,
I'm just not ready on it.
Hopefully, get another win today. You feel that much better, and go for a sweep tomorrow, and then 15 and 14 days against the likes of Cleveland and Minnesota, and more of each, and then division.
Yeah,
after division, and here you go, your chance to be the team we thought you were going to be. Or be the team that you have been.
Or the team that we were told you were going to be, even better. We were told that you would be better.
Right.
Now be
and
better.
We believed. We want to believe.
And we believed because we're suckers.
Well, I mean, you go into the season and you look at it on paper.
I'm just talking about Chicago sports fans with every damn team. We're suckers. Am I wrong?
No, because right now.
Right.
Right now, I mean, you hope the
Bulls I love your answer,
healthy.
No.
No. because my baseball team stinks, and you know, my Bears team stinks.
Hey, it cuts to the bone. It hurts.
The Blackhawks stink. Yeah. And you know, the Bulls have to get healthy and be better.
Hey,
and
the Wolves are good. The Wolves were good this year.
They are champions.
Yep.
They are champions.
All right, so let's wrap up that Twitter poll. Brian, set it up, and we'll go to Charlie Bevins, our producer today, to let us know how that poll turned out.
By the way, to answer your question, the Cubs have 78 home runs to your White Sox 61, so let that digest a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to need antacid for that digester.
Even the Cubs.
Even the Cubs, yeah, that's the state. Even the Cubs.
Yeah,
that's how you make yourself feel worse.
Obvious shirts comes up. Even the Cubs.
Even the Cubs.
All right, so simple question today, because the Bulls gave max money to Zach LaVine, 5 years, $215 million. Are you happy? Not Ian happy. Are you happy they did that, yes or no? Charlie Bevins, what did the poll results reflect?
The fans are feeling good. 78.5% happy. 29.5% unhappy.
Any write-ins, Charlie?
Let me pull it up just a second.
I don't believe that's an option.
Doesn't look, it doesn't look like anything.
Okay.
But,
nobody else said surprise like me.
No, but generally good vibes,
okay,
I would say.
Okay, good vibes, good vibes. All right, let's keep these good vibes going. Brian, we'll see you tomorrow here at 10 a.m. start time.
Yes.
We'll do that.
We'll be 10 to noon, right?
All right, yeah. White Sox Weekly, Connors here at 12:30, pregame at 2:30, first pitch at 3:10 on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley, Brian's favorite artist, going to the ends of the earth to see him. Where do you have tickets? Italy or something? Where are you going?
Rome, next May, Rome and Paris. Paris and Rome.
Right. And did you have to sell plasma every month for a year the money to get those tickets?
No, I had to get up at 2 in the morning because of the time change when the tickets went on sale, because they sold out in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you know they're not cheap.
Well, I paid face value.
Well, okay, for the tickets, but the whole thing. You got to consider travel and everything part of the ticket.
Well,
right?
And that's where my Sun-Times Air Miles and Marriott points come in from traveling for 26 years.
Yeah. Look at you. You saved it all for this moment.
Well, I was saving it for something. I didn't know this was going to be the moment, but thank God I was sitting on a lot of... You know, when you spend 3 years, actual calendar years of your life in a Marriott hotel property, you accrue a lot of points. Ask any
people. So you have figured it out that you've actually spent 3 calendar years?
Correct. I'm titanium for life on Marriott.
Look at you.
They sent me a big
heavy
metal
card. You're like a superhero.
Well, I didn't know that. They just sent me a card and said, you're our titanium for life. And
did they hand deliver it with some guy named Jeeves and white gloves?
Well, I mean, if I dropped it on my toe, I could break my toe. It's that heavy. But I mean, that tells you what kind of life you have as a beat writer. I loved covering sports. I mean, it's really not a job.
Right.
And when you're a young man traveling as much as you do, you really enjoy it because you got to see cities you never thought you would see. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I've been sitting on those for a while because I don't travel all that much anymore. And then the pandemic came along. And from what I understand now, if you want to travel, the airlines cancel your flight 3 times to make sure you don't travel.
Yeah, I haven't gone. I have not been in an airport since February of 20.
Wow.
Two weeks before I started here at ESPN, I had a trip scheduled to the British Virgin Islands.
Well,
we took that trip. And when I came home before I got here, I was sick. And I wonder if I had the COVID, but I'll never know because we didn't know what the COVID was, really.
Yeah, a lot of people are going back and thinking, you know, I had something I didn't really know what it was before there was a name to it.
Yeah. It was pointed out to me that could have been the situation. Haven't had it since.
Well, I'm on my 10th day of protocol because I took a test a week ago Wednesday.
Right, right.
And because I was around people that did, in fact, have COVID and got symptoms. So I had, like, the sniffles for 2 days. But if you go to the CDC guidelines, it's like you know, for the first few days, don't, you know, isolate and then wear a mask, you know, when you're around people, if you have to go out. But basically, you know, they want you to stay away from people for 10 days or so. So I think
is today your getaway day?
I think it's my 10th day. I'm pretty sure. So I'm at home, and if you, I have a neighbor every year that likes to blow off, it seems like half stick of dynamite.
Oh, you know, we're going to have to talk about this, especially we'll be on tomorrow, too. We're going to give advice. I certainly have issues I have to deal with my dogs.
Yeah.
And I have a neighbor that does the same thing. He hosts the neighborhood display.
I'm all for fireworks at night and enjoy 4th of July fireworks. Mm-hmm. My dogs certainly don't, and I know a lot of little kids don't. But the random window shattering or shaking half stick of dynamite at 10 in the morning for like 3 days or 4 days over the weekend, just because, I don't understand that. I don't understand the look at me, I'm a complete, you know what, jerk. Because you know, this, I mean, M80s are one thing. This is like times 10. Right. And so you might hear that today. You might not. So far.
Right. Right. Lucky. People practicing or whatever. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, and I've told you, I've kind of live out in the country. We have property, a fair amount of property that backs up to a fair amount of property owned by a gun shop owner. Mm-hmm. And on a random Saturday, you'll hear target practice. Although it doesn't bother my dogs. The gunshots don't bother the dogs outside. I mean, they're far enough away. But the fireworks, yes, they do.
Yeah, look, I really enjoy fireworks shows done by professionals. I don't really like the,
the non-professionals in the neighborhood.
It was just blown off.
Showing off, yeah. And it just burned, just burning money.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. All right, let's set up that Twitter poll here, Brian. Zach LaVine, he's going to be wearing number 8 for years to come.
So, simple question, because they agreed yesterday officially it's not till July 6th, but they've come to a verbal agreement. Not a whole lot of negotiating going on, because the Bulls, the watchword has been continuity and bringing everyone back. So they put the max money on the table, 5 years, $215.2 million, and Zach apparently didn't even want to go through meetings with other teams, but his agency, Clutch Sports with a K, decided that, you know, let's have a few of those meetings just to give you a taste of people wanting your you know, to tell you how much they love you. And in short order, he said, okay, now let's take the Bulls deal, because they're the only ones who can offer 5 years and $215 million. So he is very happy to be a Bull. Are you happy that they have given him max money? Yes or no? And that's our Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. I've retweeted it. You can find it, I believe, at Xander.
Xander Rocker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's the thing. He's going to make $37.1 million next season, which is, when you're talking about $215 million, that, you know, that seems about right. Kevin Durant, his salary next year, $43 million. And this was the week where Kevin Durant surprised the Nets and told them, you know, this isn't really working out here too much in Brooklyn. I'd like to be traded. So every team in the league had to get on the phone and make that due diligence call and say, what would you like from our roster if we could even begin to talk about getting Kevin Durant on our team? So AK and Mark Eversley certainly had that conversation. It probably didn't last very long, because Kevin Durant doesn't really want to come here. The sad thing is Danilo Garliano didn't want to come here either. He decided to go to the Celtics. He didn't really believe the Bulls, as nice a season as they had last year, are among the elite in the Eastern Conference. But the fact that Zach is going to make $6 million less than Kevin Durant, and the fantasy, I know that Sylvie tweeted out, let's go get Durant. Everyone liked that idea. There was one, you know, he had to want to come here, but Casey Johnson wrote two trade scenarios. One, you had to give up DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Alex Caruso, your first-round pick this year, and a future first-round pick. Or two, the other scenario, you give up Vooch, Patrick Williams yet again, Kobe White, your first-round pick this year, and a future first-round to even get the conversation going. And that's a lot to give up.
That's way too much. And being old school, You know, it kind of drives me nuts that there's a handful of players, and the NBA has been like this for a while, that just basically dictate, you know, contract or nothing. I want to be traded. And I hope this doesn't spread to, like, baseball.
It may
be happening, but it just seems to be so out front with NBA.
It went with D. Wade when he started with LeBron, and, you know, he started, you know.
Right. Let's all get together and approach this team and say, sign all of us. And, yeah.
I will argue, the Bulls were, 46-36 last year, right? And they limped into the playoffs, and they limped quickly out of the playoffs because the Bucks are a much better team. But as we sit here and talk about the White Sox getting healthy, and boy, when they get healthy, they're going to be a team that, you know, everyone's going to be happy to have, and they're going to contend.
There's that word again.
Yeah, happy. I will argue that truly when the Bulls get fully healthy with Lonzo Ball and you get a full season.
Right, and Lonzo was not part of the playoffs. We should mention that.
And maybe won't be ready for the start of the season. But, you know, you get guys like Lonzo Ball, certainly Alex Caruso, full season. I mean, then you can envision. I mean, the Bulls were sitting atop the conference for the first two thirds of the season or so, and mm-hmm. you know, making everyone happy and surprising everybody. Yep. They truly can lean on injuries to explain how they, you know, petered out at the end there. I don't know that they're, you know, that the Bulls have decided this is the path, right? Continuity, work around the edges. They're pretty much limit up on salary cap now. So Rick Morrissey wrote a column today, and I agree with it. The biggest question for the Bulls is, can you win because of Zach LaVine? And the answer is nobody knows. And we've been debating this for years. It was his first playoff this season in 8 years of his NBA career. And that's not because of him. It's because he was on, you know, bad Minnesota teams. And mm-hmm. And the Bulls took a while to get around to the new front office and the retooled and reimagined roster. We don't know. The debate is, you know, where does Zach LaVine fit on a championship contending team? Is he a foundation piece? Is he the centerpiece? Is he number
three? Well, he has just been paid like he is a centerpiece.
Right. And so that's the thing. I'd love to hear from Bulls fans, 312-332-3776. What do you know about Zach LaVine? We know he's athletic. We know he can score.
Right.
We know he hasn't been healthy, and the knee was more than an
And we can, you know, it could be assumed that the Bulls know that the knee is maybe not an issue because they threw all this money at him.
And they were in a spot where it's almost like, okay, what else would we do, right?
See, that's the other thing. It's like, is this the best situation we can get? Maybe we just have to settle.
Yeah, I mean, because we have this max money, he's eligible to get it. We, you know, free agents aren't breaking down our door to be part of this. You know, even Danilo wanted to go to the Boston Celtics, and after listening to what the Bulls had to sell him on. But do you know what Zach LaVine is? And he's getting paid as if he's an elite player, and he is an all-star. I mean, for the first time, and as two-time all-star. But we don't, I mean, and if you know for a fact that Zach LaVine is going to be the reason the Bulls end up hoisting a trophy again, I'd
love
to
hear great,
that.
But you have to sell us on it, because I'm with you, Brian. I'm quite honestly surprised. I did not think that they would do that, and I'm surprised. And I'm assuming that they know more than we do. 312-332-3776. Back with Bulls Talk. Tell us what you think about Zach LaVine. You happy that he signed the max contract? And is he somebody that you can sell us on for the future and ultimately for a world championship? We'll get back to that talk here at 312-332-3776, taking your calls on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
And you can watch us today and every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And in just a while, at 10:30 actually, we will give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars game Sunday, July 10th against the North Carolina Courage. We will be taking third caller. Okay. Brian, we're talking about Zach LaVine and the max contract that he got, 312-332-3776. What's your feeling on it? You happy, Brian, or are you surprised like I am?
I'm maybe not surprised. I thought it was going to happen because Zach certainly wanted to be here because he likes the idea of, well, he likes the idea of being in Chicago and finally having talent around him. Does he have enough talent around him? But I guess the bigger question for the Bulls is, does he have enough talent to make these guys better, right?
Right.
DeMar DeRozan played Superman many games this year. And you know,
and that was really Zach's role.
Yes. I mean, and
now he had the knee injury, and obviously that's been an issue, but maybe it's not such an issue now since they threw all that money at him.
Well, 67 games this season because of the knee, and you know, he had the surgery, then he had it drained, and then he had another surgery. 67 games, he averaged 27 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. You gave him max money. You were clear that you intended to do that as the Chicago Bulls the entirety of the offseason. That was the direction. It was just a matter of Zach was going to accept it or not. Right guy at the right time for the right situation, and you know, God bless him, he got paid. But I'm like you. I don't know. You can win with him, I think, for sure. But can you win because of him? Is there another level to his game or two that I think you really do have to see?
Right. Is he max money?
Right. I mean, he's getting paid as if he's an elite player in the league.
Yes, yes.
And he's a two-time All-Star, and that's nice. But I think it was a year or two ago, voted by NBA players, I think he showed up like 23rd on the list of best players in the league.
That's why I'm surprised. I'm surprised that, you know, with the knee issue and everything, I thought that they would go in a different direction. That's why I'm surprised.
Well, I mean, you know, it's nice they added Andre Drummond, but he's certainly a guy who's going to help you, you know, defensively. He's not going to help you offensively. Do you have enough scoring? Again, does Zach LaVine, assuming health, and assuming he can get more than 67 games and a lot closer to 82, is he the guy? Is he the guy to lead you to an Eastern Conference championship and eventually an NBA championship?
Is that right? Is he going to lead the way? He needs to be a leader.
That's right. I mean, and not just doing the right things and preparing the right way. His talent has to find another level or two.
Yep.
In order for you to actually be in a conversation to win something in the next, well, and it's a 5-year deal. The last year is a player option. So
let's say the next four.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to happen next year, but by years 3 and 4 of that deal, can you tell me that, yes, this is all going to play out, he's going to earn the money, and they're not just going to be a nice team and a good story and a likable team, all the things they were this year. And I loved watching Bulls basketball for the most part until, you know, the injuries piled up and they, you know, kind of whimpered into the postseason. But you rooted for this team, and you root for Zach LaVine. But that doesn't change my question marks on him about how good he is. Again, he's been in bad situations for the majority of his career, and I still don't know. I don't know how good he is, and I don't know. I do know he needs to be better in order for the Bulls to get to the promised land.
Right. And he, you know, max money thrown at him, it seems like that they have those expectations. Will they come true? Sean in Avondale jumping on ESPN 1000. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I'm pretty happy with the contract and the signing. You know, I've been seeing a lot of reports that the Chicago Bulls have yet to offer a $100 million contract plus. You know, I think it's going to, you know, AK coming in, I think he's going to really, you know, build up this roster, you know, as he already has. You know, he's bringing in different.
Well, what else do you think he needs to do?
I mean, I think he's preached continuity, so, you know, he just wants these pieces to stay together for quite some time.
And to actually work together to get to that point.
Exactly. I mean, Patrick Williams, you know, we got to see if he's going to grow this year and come into his own. I mean, training out in L.A. with DeMar, I think that's going to be huge. I think the question marks are going to be more, can LaVine and DeMar work together? Because it kind of seemed they were playing solo ball, hero ball all year. And, you know, can they play more together? And like you guys just mentioned, can LaVine elevate other people's game? I think we have yet to see that.
Right. All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.
You know, the max contract concept, Brian, Could you imagine what that money would look like for a Michael Jordan if you were playing today way he played then? What is a max contract for a Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I mean, $500 million?
At some point, there might
have you just realized how underpaid he was?
Yeah. I mean, there was always conversation, should Jerry give him a percentage of ownership?
Of course, all of us would have said yes, but it's not our team to give away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if that was within the league rules at the time where you could give him 2% of the team. But for the amount of money that he made for Bulls ownership.
Actually, after he retired, they should have gifted him 2%.
Yeah, well, he should never have worn a Washington jersey.
No, that still makes me sick.
I know, right?
312-332-3776. Twitter poll up at ESPN 1000. Zach LaVine gets the max contract. Are you happy or not? There was just two choices. I'm thrown in surprised because I just thought that they might go a different way. Because AK seems to be the guy who would make a daring trade. He's made a couple, but he feels like he has the core. Now they just have to play to potential.
And before they agreed verbally, and it'll become official on the 6th in a few days here, people are like, okay, sign and trade. Zach LaVine would have to be a centerpiece. If you're going to get Kevin Durant, then obviously the Nets would want Zach LaVine and whatever package you ship. Again, that was all fantasy-based basketball at the time because, one, Kevin Durant has Phoenix on his list and Miami and the Bulls weren't on his list, so
you want a player like that, but do you want an attitude like that?
Well, he's going to have the same attitude as Kyrie.
No, that's true. That's true. I definitely don't want no part of Kyrie.
I know he is Kevin Durant. I mean, and the idea of Kevin Durant in a Bulls uniform would excite me very much. But Patrick Williams, our caller, just mentioned it. He was in both scenarios that Casey Johnson laid out because no one yet knows what Patrick Williams is and what his future is in the NBA, but it better be good and it better be a high ceiling. And as Sean just said, our caller, you better start seeing it this season because it's time for him to start showing up and letting people know what he's all about.
Now, Durant tweeted this earlier today. Mm-hmm. The ones who are locked in that gym with me know what it is. They know what I'm about. If you haven't been in there with me, ask around. So it's a bad situation he wants out of. So, maybe, I don't know. And somebody responded, hey, you will only lead a team if they're almost already there. So it depends on how you look at that or whatever. But KD is too high a price to pay for the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, Steph Curry doesn't need Kevin Durant showing back up. I mean, right? I mean, it's like, some guys do. Just lead and lead and lead and get it done, right?
Yep. All right, Dean from Valpo wants to jump in. ESPN 1000. Hey, Dean, you're on with Hanley and Xander.
Hey, great to hear you guys. I'm in the minority, but I feel like they made a huge mistake with LaVine, signing him to that contract. And my reasons are, first, that knee. I mean, guys' knees don't get better as they get older. And he's had quite a few years in the league now. I don't see that knee, that issue going away. And to pay him that much money, to me, it was a mistake. And then
you almost have to wonder if they have information we don't, because it almost seems like they would have to have made that deal.
Well, them having information that we don't, it scares me because of how they've diagnosed their point guard's knee. So is their information any good? And my final point is, I feel like we were so down at the end of the Paxson era that we were just open to any new GM coming in and doing anything. And I feel like these guys, it's hard to argue against the fact, okay, they got us in the playoffs, but I feel like they have drained what we have in terms of draft picks. And the guys they have now are older. And so I feel like if nothing happens here, and Levine's not this, you know, max contract guy that we just paid him for, it seems like we're going to be in purgatory for the next 5 years. But anyway,
I'm
really not that negative of a person, but I just feel like that this was a mistake.
Okay. All right. So thanks, Dean. So we got a vote for yes and a vote for no. And, of course, we've got that Twitter poll up at ESPN 1000. All right, your chance right now to be caller 3 at 312-332-3776 to win a four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars game Sunday, July 10th against the North Carolina Courage. Xander and Hanley back after this on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley here until 11. Then we've got a baseball game today. White Sox taking on the Giants. Dylan Cease on the bump against their ace, right, Webb? He's a stud pitcher for the Giants there, Brian.
You sure I can't get Dylan Cease back for Ian Happ?
I promise you.
I'm just trying.
I promise you.
Yeah, no chance.
There is no freaking chance. No, sorry.
Yeah.
You could also hear us on 100.3 HD2. Yes, that's way too high. And on the ESPN Chicago app, playing high-low for Ian Happ. Look, we already said Jimenez and Mankata.
No shot.
A lot of potential there, Brian.
Yeah,
a lot of potential there.
Yeah,
you're going to lose Contreras. That's going to happen. Yeah, uh-huh. You don't see happen.
Happen.
See, I think this will happen.
HAPP.
Yeah. So I think we had a winner of those Red Star tickets. We'll get
that. How about Jose from Deerfield?
Was it Jose from Deerfield? Yeah, it was. You're right about that.
Terrific guy. Yep. Longtime contributor to.
He said hi to you.
He's been a sports talk guy forever, and we love
awesome.
Jose. Yeah.
We love rewarding people who spend time listening to sports
Absolutely.
Talk radio.
God bless you.
All right,
you,
so
Jose.
We've got a brand new head coach on the ice over on West Madison, Luke Richardson. Now, we talked about this last week. It was rumored to be the case, and it was officially announced. Was it
the Hawks said,
was it Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, they announced it Monday.
It was Monday.
They brought him into town, and he went through our first pitch at Wrigley, and he looks like he could play another 20 years. Did you see this guy?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I went to so many games back in the day when I had season tickets at the old stadium, watching Luke come into town with the Oilers. He was a great player, a guy that you would have loved to have on your team. Unfortunately, we do now, but he's not strapping the skates on anymore.
No, he said he's going to strap the skates on and practice with the team, which is, it always sounds good, but he said, like, if the team needs a bag skate where, the pucks stay in the bag and you're doing Michigan sprints, basically, blue line to blue line or end line to end line, or he said he would do it with them to show how much he, and he would try to beat them in those grueling practices.
You don't like that?
I Dirk Graham was a disaster as a head coach, and he was one of the seven head coaches I think I covered with the Hawks in their dark 90s.
The dark ages, yeah.
Yeah, and we got off the plane. It was a West Coast trip or whatever. We got off the plane, and he told the bus driver head right over to the rink out by O'Hare where they used to practice, and he bag skated the guys, and I never saw a guy lose a team quicker than that, whatever. But you are a big time Hawks fan. You just said season ticket holder for all those years.
Yeah.
Ever seen such lack of buzz? It has nothing to do with whether Luke is going to be good or not, because Kyle Davidson believes this guy's going to hold players accountable, is going to be disciplined, is going to be patient, can develop players. We'll see. But boy, the state of the Blackhawks.
Unfortunately, they fell off the radar, and it was a quick fall.
Yeah.
And it's not only the product on the ice, but it's all that other BS that happened.
Yeah, well, Kyle Beach.
All of that contributed to a quick fall.
And so now you're starting a rebuild, which Kyle Davidson won't put a timeline on because he's smart. He doesn't know how long it's going
to
take.
You don't want to corner yourself with a question like that.
And we'll find out. We talked to Ben Pope last week, who covers the Hawks for the Chicago Sun-Times, and talking about whether Alex DeBrincat, the rumor mill is ripe around the league that it's not a question of if, but when he's getting traded. And as Ben pointed out, if you're going to trade him, likely you're doing it right before the draft this week, July 7th and 8th, up in Montreal. They have their draft. And if you do trade DeBrincat, what do you get in return? And then does that mean Patrick Kane goes to Kyle Davidson?
That says, could be the first piece in the Jenga game.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. But, I mean, the lack of buzz for Luke Richardson just tells you all you need to know about where the Hawks are in terms of
where they stand in the city right now. It's going to be a bit of a climb back. Here's Luke Richardson on how he happened to come to the Hawks.
Yeah, just having a chance yesterday to walk through the whole offices. There's a lot of new people, young people, and I think that's the way the direction of the team is going, and they want the whole organization to work together. Both the hockey side, business side, and we really look forward to that and being unique and new and growing together. So, great communication, and I think right off the hop, and I think that's going to be great, and it's impressive what I've seen. I've been with a lot of organizations, and I've always heard, how well the organizations run here. It's obviously a rebuilding process right now, but I think the foundation is already set. The people are in place, and I think now it's just the excitement of moving forward with that.
That is new head coach Luke Richardson of the Blackhawks. I'll tell you something. I don't ever want to hear a head coach that takes the lead on the Blackhawks and say organization. If they don't say organization or process, if they don't do that, they're automatically disqualified.
They're not legit.
No, not at all. Now, here's Luke on previous coaching experience, which he does have.
Yeah, I think probably most coaches, and especially if you've played, there's a lot of coaches that you've had over the years that you take a little bit from everybody. And, and sometimes those are the things that you think are right and the things that you don't think are right. And you know how you're gonna make yourself and present yourself as a coach. So myself, my philosophy is the game is a fast game now. And I think a good example is watching the finals this year. There's a lot of speed, skill, but you watched how hard they played. And it's the leaders and the older players that have been there before that are leading the way in that, where Nate McKinnon's finishing checks and stuff. Well, that's the culture that you want to build here. We have Stanley Cup champions and future Hall of Famers on our team, and I think building a relationship with them to really lead the way and show the younger players to make those steps is going to be crucial. And people have talked about defensive zone coverage and all that. Well, not exactly sure what the lineup is going to be yet next year, so it's hard to say exactly what philosophy and game plan that we're going to actually do. But I think playing defense, and I was a defensive defenseman, and being good defensively doesn't mean you're in your zone all night blocking shots and you can and keeping the score down. I think what it is playing defense fast. And if you can learn to play defense fast, whether you're a big, strong guy or a small, speedy guy, you have the puck more, and you have more energy left in your body to play offense. And that's what I think that we need to do.
That is Coach Richardson on a little bit about on his experience in Montreal as a coach, which obviously is a hotbed for hockey, and his experience as a player. He is what you would call a stay-at-home defenseman. Not really a thing so much anymore, but that's what he was.
It sounds like a plan, and I like the idea that you're not just sitting back in your zone blocking shots and that basically he's also talking about being intelligent, right? And anticipating plays and making the play and turning the puck over and heading back the other direction. Now, look, he's been an assistant coach, and it was interesting that Derek King was the only NHL head coach interim that he was, that they interviewed, four guys, three of them were assistants in the leagues, including Luke Richardson. He did coach at AHL Binghamton, but this is his first time being the guy. I mean, he's filled in Montreal as a head coach. But
he was such a standout player that moves you to the head of the class.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you like everything you said, and you hope it all works out. But the fact that I know a lot of Hawks fans are like, go get Barry Trotz. Well,
no, God, see, not me. I don't want that. Well, I like this hire.
Well, I think a lot of those established coaches who were like, go, didn't want any part of a rebuild at their point in their career. So,
well, and that may be so, but for some Hawk fans, I would imagine that maybe that wasn't the answer. You know, sometimes you have to, and I know that I've been against this at times, but sometimes you have to tap some new talent, some talent with potential. And I like this hire. We've got Ray to sneak in before the break comes up here. Ray in Naperville wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good. What you got?
My thing is, I follow the Hawks probably just like you. I've talked to Brian a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were keeping close attention, which a lot of people in Chicago, they like hockey, but they don't follow it. You could see their organization, Stan, leftist organization with the 28th best prospect system. Yeah. So, you know, we've been scratching our heads for years about, you know, who trades Philip Dornier for Weiss and Fleischman. You know, who trades, so, you know, I mean, the only thing I do blame a little on Rocky, because every year, didn't he sit down with them and say, how is our prospect pool doing?
Well, I'm sure he did, but, you know, it's in the eyes of the beholder, right?
Yeah, but if you look at the draft when they drafted Reichel, Dawson Mercer was on the board, and everybody on TSN said, hey, Dawson Mercer's there. Every pick he picks, he did pick in that draft, if you go back at prospect rankings, was a reach.
Yeah, you're right, Ray. Thank you for the call. We're up against the break. Ray's got a good point. But remember, that Stanley, those Stanley Cup teams, the foundations were built not by Stan.
No. But that's why you better hope Kirby Doc gets this thing turned around too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the fact is that because Stan maintained, some people would say he did not, but he was there for all 3 years when they won the Cup. It's just really hard to sustain that. Contracts came up, and he did leave it a mess a bit, but this might be a step in the right direction.
Who needed Artemi Panarin?
Yeah, who needed the bread man anyhow?
Yeah, right.
312-332-3776. That's the number to call. Another chance at a four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Red Stars game Sunday, July 10th. That's against the North Carolina Courage. We'll take caller three right now. At 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Xander back to wrap it up. We'll wrap up that Twitter poll, and we'll set up the Sox game today as they're taking on the Angels. Giants, they're in California, and that's a 305 start right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000 up until 11, White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight at 12:30. Then Connor stays here for the pregame at 2:30. Lennon DJ on the call at 3:10. It is Dylan Cease on the mound today. Brian at 6-3, 2.56 ERA, 121 strikeouts against Logan Webb. He's 7-2, 3.04 ERA, 81 strikeouts. I think he's their ace on that staff. Am I correct?
So with those two going, you're probably going to see a 10-8 game, right? I mean, you would expect the 1-0 game to be
right?
Yeah.
The other day, the Kopech and Ohtani game.
Yeah.
That was interesting for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, it was as advertised, I mean, both of them are studs.
Yep. Yeah. As soon as they got they were up 2-0. I'm like, ooh, this could be a little bit of a uphill climb given the Sox offense these days.
And that is the difference. And then you have a game where they just totally break out, which just drives me nuts. All I do is shout at the screen, save some for tomorrow.
Is that how it works?
Well, that's how it works with me. They don't listen. They don't hear. They don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But that's my first reaction. It's like, okay, the blowouts are cool and fun and everything, but I'd rather have you save some for tomorrow.
If we could just get that average up to, you know, 4 or 5 runs a game.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Just
could you imagine 4 months ago saying once we get into July, we'd be just wishing we'd average 4 runs a game?
Yeah. You know, look, it's great to win a game like last night, and props to everyone. But you need a much more consistent offense. However you're going to get it done, if you don't want to believe that you need to hit more home runs.
Hey, if there's a corner to be turned, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, without
Let's pick up momentum San Francisco and come back home for a slate of games against the Twins. I'm going to be seeing them both Tuesday and Wednesday.
Ooh.
So I need wins. I need
good
wins.
Good seats?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
ooh,
so 15 games against division opponents, 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is your clarifying, defining stretch. All hands on deck, and you got to get it done. And if you don't get it done, or you just run in place like you've done for the last 2 months, then Rick Hahn is going to have to look at that and say,
"Are you going to ask me what the record's going to be over those 15 games? Is that what you're leading to?"
Boy, we can do that tomorrow.
You yeah, why don't we do that tomorrow?
Yeah,
I'm not ready to answer that. I'm not ready to the reality of for the reality that wants to jump out of my mouth. I'm just not ready for it.
Yeah,
I'm just not ready.
On it. Hopefully, you get another win today. You feel that much better and go for a sweep tomorrow, and then oof, boy, 15 and 14 days against the likes of Cleveland and Minnesota and more of each, and then division after division, and here you go, your chance to be the team we thought you were going to be. Or be the team that you have been.
Or the team that we were told you were going to be, even better. We were told that you would be better.
Right.
Now be
and
better.
We believed. We want to believe.
And we believed because we're suckers.
Well, I mean, you go into the season and you look at it on paper.
I'm just talking about Chicago sports fans with every damn team. We're suckers. Am I wrong?
No, because right now.
Right.
Right now, yeah, I mean, you hope the
I love your answer.
Healthy.
No.
No. Because my baseball team stinks, and my Bears team stinks.
Hey, it cuts to the bone. It hurts.
The Blackhawks stink, and the Bulls have to get healthy and be better.
Hey, the Wolves are good. The Wolves were good this year.
They are champions.
Yep.
They are champions.
All right, so let's wrap up that Twitter poll. Brian, set it up, and we'll go to Charlie Bevins, our producer today, to let us know how that poll turned out.
By the way, to answer your question, the Cubs have 78 home runs to your White Sox 61. So let that digest a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to need antacid for that digester.
Even the Cubs.
Even the Cubs. Yeah, that's the state. Even the Cubs.
Yeah,
that's how you make yourself feel worse.
Obvious shirts comes up. Even the Cubs.
Even the Cubs.
All right, so simple question today because the Bulls gave max money to Zach LaVine, 5 years, $215 million. Are you happy? Not Ian happy. Are you happy they did that, yes or no? Charlie Bevins, what did the poll results reflect?
The fans are feeling good. 78.5% happy, 29.5% unhappy.
Any write-ins, Charlie?
Let me pull it up just a second.
I don't believe that's an option.
It doesn't look like anything.
Okay.
But,
nobody else said surprise like me.
No, but generally good vibes, I
would
say.
Good vibes, good vibes. All right, let's keep these good vibes going. Brian, we'll see you tomorrow here at 10 a.m. start time.
Yes.
We'll do that.
We'll be 10 to noon, right?
All right, White Sox Weekly, Connors here at 12:30, pregame at 2:30, first pitch at 3:10 on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000.